one day.
A blessed Lord's Day to all our valued listeners to this Sunday morning broadcast. I am Pastor John Yard from the Westmoreland Church of the Nazarene. Our district wishes to express thanks for the many years of sponsorship of this program by Federal Motor Spears, situated on Bank Hall Crossroad. Once again, thanks to Brother Allen and your family for your many years of sponsorship. May God continue to bless you and your business. The Christian calendar has some important seasons critical to our faith, which we live out in our daily lives, but also we reflect on them since they hold relevance to all generations. We just reflected on our Lord's death and resurrection, and we are now approaching the Ascension and Pentecost as dates of celebration and reflection in our Christian journey. Father, we thank you for the breath of life, which is a gift only you can give. And we are so grateful, Lord. We thank you for the comprehensive plan of salvation, which includes all humanity. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, who regulates our lives as we walk in obedience to your word. Lord Jesus, may someone be challenged by your word today to love you more, to identify themselves with the new life offered by you, to open themselves for a deeper walk with you, knowing, Lord, you've made it available to the presence of the blessed Holy Spirit. Help that someone, O God, may desire to know you today, in Jesus' name. Amen. The last two Sundays, as I said earlier, we examined this season on the Christian calendar. We looked at the temptations of the Lord. We looked at his death and magnificent resurrection. Thanks be to God. This morning, I wish to look at the resurrection impact on the lives of the disciples, examining the impact on their lives. And I have no doubt that we too are witnesses of the resurrection impact on our lives and by extension on the life of the church. In Acts chapter 1, reading from verses 6 on to verse 13, and I want to read the scripture to you this morning. It says, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And we note that question. "And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Note the question in the text. The disciples ask, "Will you restore the kingdom of Israel?" I observe as I looked at that the disciples' spiritual lens were still cloudy. They were still associating the return of public power, political power, theocracy, as a tangible sign of the restoration of power. But in the same text, we observe Jesus' response was profound to the disciples. He said, "I wish to suggest that the application of Jesus' response is applicable to the church today and applicable to our lives, applicable to my life, applicable to your life." Jesus responded, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his authority." I think if they miscalculated the full understanding of what the resurrection entailed. In essence, Jesus is saying to them, don't become overly consumed with the matters of the state of Israel. Don't become overly consumed with the dominance of Rome. I want to create in you a different type of power. Ah, thank you, Lord. I feel it repeating that. Disciples, I want to create in you, or I want to deposit in you, or I want to endue you with a different type of power. Hallelujah. And I think it's worth reading again. Verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Thank you, Lord. "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and Barbados and St. Vincent and Guyana and Trinidad and to the ends of the world. So the power which I will give you will vastly outstrip the kingdom of Israel." Hallelujah, this morning. I hope I'm speaking to someone and reminding you the promises of God, reminding you the impact of the resurrection power must not be simply attached to the power of man, but is a power that he wants to place in our heart. He desires to place in us the kingdom of God. I want to digest that. He desires to place in us, or to establish his kingdom in our lives. He desires to develop a permanent residence in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I sometimes become amazed at the way we all confine the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We confine him to specific areas or specific tasks or specific events. I want to suggest to you this morning, the work of the Holy Spirit is multifaceted. "You shall be witnesses to me." Endowment with power of the Holy Spirit gives you direct access to the heart of God. You know, when I read this, I said, whoa, it gives you ambassadorial rights to the very kingdom of God. The resurrection impact on the lives of the disciples must have the same impact on our lives today. Hallelujah. It is a greater power than political power. Political power has a shelf life. The power of man has a shelf life. But I want to give you a power that comes straight from the throne of God. So disciples do not become overly concerned with the events of Israel. My Christian brothers, we are in a season where we can become overly concerned with the events in our society. We can become very concerned with the events of the world as we see how man handles power. We see how leaders handle power. So much power is used for destruction of our humanity. But God's church, one of the impacts of the resurrection on the lives of my disciples and the lives of my people is to give you a power that stays within, a power that connects you directly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. And you don't need to politicize for that. You don't need to canvass for that. You need to wait. You need to walk in obedience. And I will endure you. I want you to know this, church, that what we are looking at here, the listeners to me this morning, what we are looking at here is not confined to that period of Christian history. Everything that is written here is absolutely relevant for successful Christian living. Dare I say, for successful Christian survival. We cannot survive our time in our Christian experience without the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why I say to you, it's multifaceted. And it is an error to associate the Holy Spirit with some singular event of drama. He's a teacher, he's a guide, he's the paraclete. He comes alongside of us. He is our empowerment. Hallelujah. So what are the impacts of the resurrection on the lives of the disciples was their readiness not only for the physical presence of Christ, but for the indwelling reality of Christ. Hallelujah. That excites me, not just for a visible view of Christ, but the resurrection impact was, I'm now going to give you an indwelling presence. Give us an indwelling presence. Hallelujah to the Lamb, an endowment from on high. I want to suggest to you this morning further that there must be a confidence in our obedience. Go to Jerusalem until. There must be a level of confidence in our obedience to Almighty God. As we read, verse 30 introduces us to a group of people whose lives were seriously impacted by the resurrection, whose life was seriously changed by the whole event of Calvary and the resurrection. Not the persons present in the upper room. Not the persons present in the upper room. Hallelujah. I can identify with them this morning. Perhaps you too can identify with them this morning. So pastor, who's in the upper room? Right there, we read it in the text from verse 12 to verse 13 of Acts chapter 1. But let me remind them of them. Peter is in the upper room. Peter is no longer denying. He is now an advocate. He was touched again by Jesus. The impact of the resurrection on the lives of the disciples. No longer denying. He's now an advocate. How would you describe yourself this morning? How would you describe yourself? I recently ran into a guy after church. He said, I no longer go to church. I preach from wherever I am, and I was in a shop at that time and he was speaking to me. I said, so you're preaching here now? I won't go into all the details, but he said, yes. You know, the enemy can mess our minds up. But Peter, no longer denying. Peter is not an advocate. Hallelujah. Do you know who else was in the upper room? When you look at the names, Thomas was also in the upper room, not doubting, but an advocate. The impact of the resurrection is still changing lives. The impact of the resurrection is still revolutionizing ideas. You know who else was in the upper room? Jesus' brothers, who doubted his messiahship. And they are all there in obedience to the message given to them at the ascension. Go and wait. You know, there's some verses that we do become fascinated with. One that says, they that do what? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. So we see that impact on the lives of the disciples. And that impact is still available today. You know, we are just sharing the story. And it is a story that needs to be heard in every generation. You observe generations come and they go, but the story of Jesus, the story of the resurrection, has to be repeated. The benefits of the resurrection, the impact of the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection, the promise of the indwelling presence. And you may ask, but Pastor Yard, why the story needs to be repeated to every generation? Because every generation is born in sin. Every generation has a proclivity and inclination to rebel against God. Every generation is confronted with things bigger than themselves. And the only authentic source that speaks the human condition and gives a remedy is the Word of God. So every generation needs the Word of God. Every generation needs to appropriate its contents to a heart. Those in the upper room, a group that ran away, a group that got scared, but now they're together. The upper room is not just a place of hallelujah. The upper room is a place of preparation. In the upper room, you don't be there not speaking to your brother and your sister. The upper room is a place of preparation. Go there until you be endued with power. The upper room is a place of unity. I want to repeat that. The impact of the resurrection and the preparation for the absence of his physical being, but preparation for the indwelling presence of him, is a place of preparation. The upper room is a place, I said, of unity, of one accord. Scripture specifically indicate, and they were in one accord. The upper room is a place of surrender, personality surrender, talent surrender. Those who wish to be the greatest in the kingdom must become the least. The upper room is a place of surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The impact of the resurrection on the lives of the disciples. Obedience, as I say, confident obedience. Unity, surrender to the Lordship. Hallelujah. You know, we see the upper room only as a place of power. It is a place of power, but it's also a place of what I mentioned to you. The power of the Holy Spirit then will result in humility. Well, Pastor, what you say? The power of the Holy Spirit also results in humility. The power of the Holy Spirit also results in service. The power of the Holy Spirit results in us being committed to a cause. So the power of the Holy Spirit is not just blind eye open. The power of the Holy Spirit is not just deaf rise. The power of the Holy Spirit keeps us pure in tough times. The power of the Holy Spirit keeps us focused in the midst of distraction. The power of the Holy Spirit leads and guides. He's our indwelling source. He's our direct link. Hallelujah. And of course, there's nothing too hard for him to do. So what is your excuse this morning? What is your excuse from responding to him? What is your excuse from using the giftings that he has loaned to you for him? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? How do you demonstrate the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Because a Christian cannot function effectively, cannot function, period, without the Holy Spirit directing it. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He is Jesus. living in us through the presence. And he speaks to our mind. I mentioned this in the first sermon. He helps us when life goes south. So have you received, since you believe this way? Have you allowed him to take lordship of your life? What impact has the resurrection had on you? We see clearly the impact it had on the disciples. They became confident in their obedience. Their fear level dropped. They got united. They came together for a cause. I recently read a story where a security guard was greeted by a manager of the company every morning when he entered the workplace. Without stop, every morning. And as he was leaving, he did the same thing consistently for over 10 years. One evening, the owner of the company worked late. When he was finished, he told the guard he's the last one on the compound so he can lock the gate. The guard said, "No, sir, you are not the last one on the compound. The manager is still there." The owner insisted, "I told you I'm the last one on the compound so you can close the gate." The guard said, "No, sir, you're not the last one on the compound." So don't ask why you're saying that to me. He said, "For the last 10 years, every morning and every evening, without fail, the manager greeted me. He greeted me this morning, and he has not done it this evening. I am sure he's still there." You want to say, "Let's go look for him then." So when they went checking, they opened the freezer room, and there he was, gasping for breath, about to take his last breath. He was locked in the freezer room, but his life was safe. I want to suggest to you, his life was safe because he developed an attitude of consistency. There was a value in consistency. He was consistent. There's also a value in humility. Oh, there's tremendous value in having the Holy Spirit take up residence in your life. He gives you the right perspective. He gives you the right attitude. He gives you the right timing. We too this morning can be beneficiaries of the resurrection. We too can demonstrate in our lives the impact of the resurrection. What a difference he makes. So right there in your home this morning, driving in your car, wherever you are, have you received the Holy Spirit? What impact has the resurrection have on you? Perhaps right there where you are, in your own words, your own language, develop a conversation with him. Perhaps you don't even know him. "I don't know you, Jesus. I don't know what this preacher is talking about. But wherever you are, whoever you are, Lord, can you make yourself real to me this morning through your Holy Spirit?" Father, thank you for your word. May it be a source of encouragement, a source of strength, a source of hope, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, Sister Kimberly Jument will share with us the details of our upcoming Nazarene Day. And God bless you, Sister Kimberly, as you update us on our Nazarene Day. God bless.
Good morning to everyone and to all my Nazarene brothers and sisters. Nazarene Day 2023 is fastly approaching. It will be held on Friday, the 28th of April. This is on National Heroes Day at the King George V Memorial Park, Ruby, St. Philip, between the hours of 9:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. On this day, we are going to have the following events. We're going to have worship ministry, sports, games, and athletics events, which would include cricket, football, netball, basketball, road tennis, relays, tug-of-war, egg and spoon race, sack race, three-leg race, card, and board games. We are inviting you to participate in these sporting events. In addition, We are also going to be having a health and wellness clinic and a business exposition. I am eager to see all of you Nazarenes as we come together for a day of fellowship whilst fostering and building relationships with members across the Nazarene district. We are encouraging all Nazarenes to wear their zone colors on this day. Hope to see you there.